From scratch.
Welcome to the From Scratch podcast. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
In the green room this week, where we like to hang out and have coffees and croissants before we come on air, Nigel and I were talking about, well, something that I was talking about, and Nigel has kindly said, okay, why don't we run with that? I've put pen to paper about what I'm calling generative AI noise pollution, and, you know, who and what, who you're listening to, you know, what you're looking at to make sense of it. Because I was doing a little bit of research around it, and I was looking at TechCrunch, which is a great technology website, and I counted 34 stories over 3 days this week. And by the time we've published this, it'll probably be last week. But basically, these were big announcements as well. OpenAI announcements, Meta, Microsoft, you know, the really big players, as well as lots of other news stories. And I was thinking, you know, this is, it's a really transformational kind of technology in many ways. There's tons of information out there. And in the learning sector, we've now got, obviously we've got the vendors, they're in a difficult place. They're piling in, they've got to have a position. They're a technology vendor after all, you know. So there's all of that coming in. There's kind of self-professed experts, there are experts, there's research going on. It's just like, oh my God, what do? You know, because it is really important that, you know, we get our heads around this as individuals, as organizations, as teams, as vendors, you know. And obviously it's all very fast moving and evolving, but it's, you know, it's going to have a big impact, and it's starting to have an impact on, you know, corporate learning. So that's what I wanted to talk about. And what do you think about that, Nigel? Do you think that's a good thing to be talking about right now?
I do.
The answer is yes.
Yeah, you'd have to be averagely brain dead to not notice that something's going on. But we've gone to a point where people are grabbing on to whatever straws happen to be hanging in the wind and building everything around that, to a point where it's very hard to know where to come down, where to land. And when that happens, I think it's a good thing, because it means there's a lot of argument, a lot of debate, and a lot of issues going on at the moment. But it's a bad thing, because it's much harder to build your individual strategy unless you do what the big vendors are hoping, like Microsoft are hoping that you'll bet on them. And their launch in the last couple of days of their entire integration of generative AI into their entire product spectrum, from Teams through to Excel, is amazing. It looks great. And it's going to be on general release on the 1st of November. So it's not very far off. Mm-hmm. There's Apple talking about their huge investment in generative AI, which is going to come out at the end of the beginning of next year. Google promising a whole new generation of AI tools coming out towards the end of this year. So there's a huge amount going on. And it would be helpful for people to have some small things to grab onto and not just be washed out with the bathwater in the overwhelming flow of stuff, most of which is either inaccurate or building on the back of other people not very well. So where do you go with this, Martin? You know, to me, we should perhaps recommend two or three things that where people could start. And that might be a good place to leave this, because I want to help people. I don't want them to throw up their hands in horror and say, we can't deal with this, because I think that is 100% wrong. But I also don't want people to just believe everything that they read, because that's not going to be helpful. So what are the things we can grab?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And that, I mean, basically, I'm suggesting this because I think it's quite an interesting time. You know, I have an interest in how the supply side talks about this, because you know the vendors are rightly stating their positions and kind of piling in with the ones that aren't built on AI but are integrating it are talk. You know, it they're talking about features, like feature development, and you know all learning professionals will know that that tends to be what gets talked about when it comes to learning technologies. It's products and features, not necessarily impact and value. So we know that's starting to happen, but what's interesting there is that I get why that's happening from the vendor perspective. But what used to happen, I think, with technology, learning technology, is that it tended to only go as far as the learning team. All right, IT may, you know, gets involved, but basically it's something of interest to learning. And as long as it gets implemented and it works and learning can do its job in the business, then I don't think anyone's been too fussed about it. Suddenly, with this technology, the rest, every other business function and the leadership team of the business is looking at this. So what does that mean? That means, A, obviously, it's a much, much more significant kind of technology, but also it means that learning professionals, for example, have other people to talk to. And I think that's really important. So right now, I think it's probably more about talking to people within the business and understanding what they're doing. I thought it was very interesting. I went to Learning Live and John Fletcher at BP, who I would say definitely follow. There are a number of people in the learning sector who are sharing really interesting things right now. He's one of them. I think what he was talking about was the amount of time he's spending with his IT team. Now, obviously, he's at BP. It's a massive company. They're obviously doing loads with AI. But a lot of organizations and their IT teams, you know, IT will be kind of leading on this. So actually, it's a great opportunity for learning to be talking to them about the skills that they have, you know, the issues that are arising around AI, around data governance, and all of that. So I think that's a really positive thing. I think also it's really that I think learning teams and organizations in general lean on their technology partners to really help them, inform them as to what. You know, where technology is going and what they need to know. And I think hopefully we can get beyond the initial hype of the sort of features and start and the technology vendors starting to have a really, you know, it's in their interest to talk to customers to understand where they are and the concerns they have. And I think it's incumbent on learning professionals to understand. Start to understand the technology, play with it a bit, and understand the issues around it, especially around bias, privacy, you know, ethic, that all those kind of issues that we know are really hot issues. But I mean, I think that kind of conversation, if it can emerge and vendors can start to share some information about that and about how they're approaching it and their product vision, I think that becomes really interesting. I
It
might be
does.
a bit hopeful about the fact that that's going to happen. But I think we have to, you know, be clear that there are lots of kind of protagonists when it comes to this. You know, there's new technology, then there's lots of people talking about it, but actually, fundamentally, it's not a learning technology. It is a technology that is going to have a big impact on learning. And I think that means that opens the door to conversations internally. And you know, amongst peers, about exactly what to do, you know, where to look, what are good sources of information. I think colleagues will be definitely a really important source of information at this time. I think there's plenty of other, you know, I think it reminds me of you know, going back to curation and not automated curation, but this idea of being able to find, filter. You know, so that and then make sense of information. And I think, you know, like Harold Jarque's Seek, Sense, Share. It's that stuff, you know, it's really important right now. Finding credible information in a kind of hyped technology is quite, it's a challenge, but
it
it's something that, you know, we all need to kind of rise to that challenge.
Yeah. Let me give an alternative perspective. I think that's one thing is really useful. Actually keep an eye on what's going on as opposed to what people are boasting about that doesn't actually exist. Get rid of the vaporware and the hype. But I would start with some of the research. And there's a wonderful paper that we've mentioned before, which is the Harvard Business Paper, Working Paper 24-013,
yeah,
which is Navigating the Jagged Frontier, Field Experimental Evidence of the Effects of AI on Knowledge, Worker, Productivity and Quality. And people have commented on how academic that title is, but it nails it. This is field experimental evidence. What really goes on in the workplace, not made up rubbish. And I think it's a fantastically interesting paper. But more so, if you go to the very end of it, which is 15 or 16 pages, there's another 4 pages of some of the best writing on AI that I've seen. If you can't find a starting place from some of those really interesting articles that are available. Some are more kind of academic than others, but they're all refereed, accepted, validated, reviewed material. That is just, if you could just spend a couple of hours getting your head around where the parameters of this begin and end, I think that would be helpful. And my second tip would be, one of the authors is called Ethan Mollick. He's a faculty member at Wharton Business School at the University of Pennsylvania. I know Ethan. He's a great guy. But he produces a daily blog called One Useful Thing. And what he's doing is just experimenting, exploring, trying to get his head around ChatGPT and the ramifications. And if you read, and Ethan is a straight player, you know, he's honest. He does everything he says he means. He can validate and justify. If you just kept up with Ethan and where his brain is going, he will take you through the through the paths, the winding path of AI. Read this paper to start off. But also remember that everything Martin and I say today will not be true next week, because it's moving that fast. That we were talking about ChatGPT 4.0, it's now moving to another iteration. New products are coming out, everything is moving very fast. But you can only grasp that when you've got a grounding. So take your grounding, I think, either from those doing it for real, not just talking about it, and take it from those researching it for real and trying to find out. The Harvard paper that I mentioned is basically a case study of AI helping professionals in Boston Consulting Group. It's fascinating. And the jagged frontier is because this is not a miracle worker. In some areas, it's brilliant, and it's increased productivity massively, particularly for those who are kind of lower down the performance pecking order. But in some areas, it's dangerous, right? It's misleading. And so don't just think that everything that you chuck into AI will deliver for you. But if you're not on top of it, and you're working in an organization around L&D or working in an organization around business development or anything else, whoa, I would worry, because this stuff is coming at us like a steam train down the track, and it's very important, and it's fascinating, and it's exciting.
Thanks, Nigel. And if you have got any resources or people that you would recommend we follow, then please just drop us a line. It'd be great to hear from you on that. But otherwise, that was really good, Nigel, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Indeed we will. Thank you, Martin. From scratch.